My watch says 10:45. Good morning. Don't you love that holy hum? All y'all talking and loving on one another. I love it. But let's take that holy hum and direct it at Jesus. If you'll stand with me. You guys, I really sense the further we enter in, the deeper we'll go in God. The further we enter in, the deeper we'll go. So if you all have that mindset this morning, I think God's going to take us somewhere and we're going to get to do something wonderful. So just take a big breath and just let it out and just feel the presence of God. Worship begins now, not when we sing the first note. Worship began when you woke up this morning, opened your eyes and realized God had given you a wonderful day in which to serve Him, but more importantly, love Him. So just breathe Him in and breathe Him out. Let's just fill this place with the holy presence of God as we exalt Him and worship Him. He's holy, 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 holy is He. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You feel that? You feel that wave of the holy presence just whooshing over us? Let's just enter into that, knowing that what He has for us is wonderful and great, powerful, full of love and full of comfort and peace. It doesn't ever take us anywhere that He hasn't already been. Holy, holy God are You. We enter into Your presence, Jesus. We're already there. Do we just want to instigate it by saying You are holy God? Can you say that? We're holy God. You're a holy God. Holy, holy are You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Father, we just praise Your name. We thank You for today. We praise that Your will would be done here in this service, Your service, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. You designed us for this, God. We were made to worship You, to be worshipers of the one true God. You designed us that way. Hallelujah. Do what You want, Jesus. Do what You want. Let us be obedient. Thank you.
adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Say it again.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
stars to tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you. Star can live without you, Jesus. We love you. We can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist.
And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there is resurrection life in all you.
So I want to say this. There's a saying that says, how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time. And to a lot of people, Jesus is this huge thing and they don't know where to start. But that's the point. Just start. And then one bite at a time, one day at a time, one situation at a time, one prayer at a time. He's all about going the way you can handle it. He's not going to overwhelm you unless you ask him to overwhelm you. But every time you take a bite, you're going to be flooded. And you're going to be flooded with his grace, his mercy, and his love, and all that he has for you. Because he came for this. He came for you. He came for each and every one of us. And he came for us one at a time. One step at a time.
come and consume us. As John the Baptist said, Lord, let us decrease and you increase. Consume us, Lord. And in turn, help us consume you. Help us feast on you, Lord. Atmosphere right now, just pray for four states that have been just devastated by tornadoes. Lord, right now we just come before your throne of grace, Lord, and we just ask that you would just touch, Lord, those states and those counties, those areas, Lord, that have suffered such devastation. Some families losing everything that they had. Some still stuck and trapped under rubble, Lord. We just ask that you would just help the workers, Lord, that are volunteering. Give them strength, Lord. Give them wisdom, Lord, of where to look. Lord, we pray that you would just allow what the enemy has meant here for evil to be good. Let it be turned to good in these lives. Lord, we just pray for the hearts of those who have lost loved ones. We pray that you would comfort them by your Holy Spirit, that you would let them focus on you, Lord, that you would be their hope, Lord, for the future. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let the peace that passes all understanding guard the hearts and the minds of all your believers in those areas, Lord. Help them to be a light shining, Lord, in the dark time. Help the government, Lord, to do what they can to help those, Lord, financially. And Red Cross, Lord, all those involved, Lord, in the rescue efforts, Lord, we just pray that you'd give them strength and the ability to do, Lord, what they need to do in this time. Now, Lord, we pray for our city of Yakima, our county of Yakima. Lord, we just pray that you would touch hearts and lives. Lord, those that need a touch from heaven, those that need you, Lord, those that are lost without direction in their life, Lord, we pray that you would come into those lives, Lord, and give them the life and the life abundantly, Lord, that you freely died on the cross, Lord, for them to receive. Help their eyes to be open. Remove the scales. Remove the veils. Remove every obstacle. Remove every barrier. Remove everything that the enemy's put up in their lives to keep your love from rescuing them. Lord, we just pray that you would just allow the love of Christ to permeate this city, this county. Let hearts turn towards you. Let the love of God be what motivates, Lord, your people here in this city. Not agendas, not goals or mission statements, Lord, but your love. Let it be the core of everything that we do. Let it be the center of everything that we do. Your love, God. Help your people, Lord, to be lovers in this city. Help them to be ones, Lord, that lay down their life for friends, Lord. Help your people, Lord, to love each other in the city in such a way, Lord, that they know that they're yours. They know they're your disciples. Thank you, Jesus. Let your light so shine in this darkness, Lord, that it is totally separated and distinguished from what was there previous. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, that your will be done in Yakima County. Let your kingdom come in Yakima County in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, team. Good job. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. We have a few announcements. Yes. Well, last week we prayed for Tanya's mom. She had lost her dad about a week and a half before that. And her mom ended up passing this week. And so there's going to be a service this coming Saturday. But we want to pray for the family, because losing two parents this time of year, that's hard. So, Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would touch Tanya and touch her family. Lord, we know that Tanya is standing strong in you and that you're her hope. But, Lord, many other family members are struggling, Father, and we just ask that you would just allow, Lord, your grace, Lord, your truth to reign in their hearts. Lord, give them the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Help them to realize, Lord, that they're with you and that they've never been better. They've never been more alive, as we were talking about this week. So, Lord, we pray that you would just allow that truth to come into this family. Comfort them, Holy Spirit. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding guard their hearts and their minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Youth Monday nights, right? 6:30 to 8:30. It's been really good. I haven't been there personally, but I know by reports that it's awesome. So if you have any youth, what's the age group? From 12 to, like, from 12 to 18, you can tell them to come. It's downstairs, and they have a great time. I don't know if I would have as much fun, but I know that Eric and Nancy and the team have a great time. So, praise the Lord. Tuesday and Wednesdays, we have Zoom meetings. Tuesdays is for women. Wednesdays is for men, and that's at 7 p.m., and there's phone numbers up there. If you want to text and be included in those, please do. We can handle a few more, and it's a great time. It's just time to fellowship and encourage each other, and the women have been going through this month, I know, the Christmas message, and we have been in Revelation, and we've been gleaning everything we can out of Revelation chapter 5. I know some people say, Revelation, how can you get anything out of Revelation? You'd be surprised how many truths apply to our lives in Revelation. It's pretty amazing. Candlelight. I'm excited about this. Do you want to talk about this, babe? Or no? Nope. She doesn't. I can. You can. So Christmas Eve, we're having a candlelight service at 6 p.m. And so I want you to invite any family members that want to celebrate a special night at Christmas Eve, you know, instead of just, you know, sitting home and, you know, waiting for the next day to come so they can open presents. I know some families do open up presents on Christmas Eve, but we've normally done our candlelight service the Sunday before Christmas. But we want to start a new tradition here at One Life and have a Christmas Eve service. So I want to encourage all of you to invite your family, friends, put it on Facebook and let them know that we'll be here for just about an hour. Won't be a whole long time. Afterwards, we'll have a few snacks, but that's it. And then you can go home and be with your family. So praise the Lord. And I want to thank everyone who gives to this house and that honors the Lord in their giving. We are receiving offerings. We're not taking offerings. We don't pass it around here. Most everybody knows that. But in the front and in the back, we have places where you can put, if you want to leave a check or an envelope, you can put cash. Also, you can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com and click give. So That is it, I think. And Eric is up. I don't want to flip the deal. What's that?
You leave it there.
Leave it there. Is it both of you today?
Yeah.
It's both of them. Oh, okay. Give it up for both of them. Praise the Lord. So you did need the two chairs.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I was like, hey, why is he leaving them?
Check. I'll control it. Thank you. So candlelight service is going to be great. For those of us who maybe grew up in a more Catholic tradition church, maybe Christmas Eve service wasn't so fun. For my experience, so my family, typically how they would do it is we would open presents at midnight. All the presents, okay? Which was fine. Except that in waiting, we would have to wait. And then at some point in the night, we went to Mass. And it was in Spanish. And if you guys don't know already, that's not my native tongue. And so as a child, I sat there for no hour service and then treats afterwards. We're talking 2 hours of Spanish-speaking service. But I'm a visionary. And so as a kid, my vision was, if I can get through this, presents are on the other side of it. And so that was my experience. Anyways, it's going to be great. We're going to share about seeking and pursuing. Where do I point? I always forget where to point. This is on. It's not going. There it goes. Seeking and pursuing. This is kind of dovetailing a bit off of what, really what Gaylene brought up last week. And if you haven't listened to, if you missed last week's service, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it, because she said something that really struck a chord with me. And was like, wow, it's deep. And she said that for a long time, she had realized that she was serving the Lord, but maybe not seeking the Lord. And being in the church for, you know, the last a decade and a half, I've definitely been in that spot. And I think to some degree, maybe all of us have. And especially when you get into a role where you're, you know, pastoring and you're leading, like it's really really easy to serve the Lord. But behind the scenes, nobody knows how the actual seeking is going. Right. And so, I think this is an important conversation to talk about in our walk, that because it's easy to get into the church routine and to get plugged into a ministry and plugged into a congregation and, you know, find out the classes they have. And that was, you know, our church historically, that's the way it was when I first started to come. You know, it's like, okay, you're in, awesome, go to Encounter. After that, leadership class. Next, Leadership 2 or whatever we called it. I don't remember what they were all called. And that was down the road. But
school leaders.
School leaders, yep. And then you do that thing. And then we had cell groups, which is what our small groups were. And so then you begin leading one of those. And then, you know, you just keep doing the thing. And so being a new believer coming in at 19, I was like, okay, this is what it looks like. You come to church. And pursuing God looks like you serve the local church. There is very much truth to that, but it's not a complete message. And so I'm here to tell you that there are plenty of people that are serving the church all over our city right now that are not seeking Him. And especially it gets harder and harder as we get serve God. The longer we serve God, the more we have to pull from experiences, and we're eating old manna, and we're talking about things that happened at an encounter 10 years ago, and we can't actually remember the last time we actually heard the voice of God, and we can't actually remember the last time we actually had an encounter with His presence. But we had that moment 10 years ago, and we're still eating off of that. And so, yeah, I think it's important that we have that conversation.
Yeah, I think it's important to know that this is an and also kind of message, because I think I don't want us to forsake the servant's heart, right? Because he always talks about knowing your seat at the table and making sure that we're serving those around us. But when it comes to a place of just doing to check off a box, or we're doing because this is what we know to do, and I think there is a place for that. Like, sometimes people come to the Lord by serving. Like, they don't know what else to do, so they come into a church, they serve, and then little do they know, Jesus meets with them, right? It's because they've opened themselves up to that. But there's, you guys, I love Jesus, as you guys know. He's like my dude. He's my everything. He really is. And I've been, on top of reading the Word, I've also been reading, I don't know if you guys know of A.W. Tozer. He was a pretty fantastic, zealous guy for the Lord, and he writes some really good things. And one of the ones that's really hit me, I think multiple times, I think I'm reading it for like the fifth time right now. It's older English. So for me, what I loved, I think, most about this is going through and doing the word studies and highlighting things and that I maybe didn't understand, finding the definition to it, and realizing what he's, the weight of what he's saying, and some of the stuff that he, one of the things that he said, I just wanted to read to you guys, is this. Being made in his image, we have within us the capacity to know him. In our sins, we lack only the power. The moment the Spirit has quickened us to life in regeneration, our whole being senses its kinship to God and leaps up in joyous recognition. That is the heavenly birth without which we cannot see the kingdom of God. Like, getting emotional. That's huge, because, sorry, I gotta look at it. We are made in his image, and there's nothing, no works. I feel like this is like a thing that I keep saying. Like, there's no one thing that we can do that's going to cause us to be any closer to salvation or earn anything. Because everything that he has, him going up on the cross and sealing that deal, gives us full access to every part of him. All we have to do is say yes and continue to seek him. The things we put stipulations and rules and agendas on what it looks like and how you get there, and these things are good, but they're not necessarily required. I think just being fully minded of who he is and going after him, knowing that he created you with the desire to be a part of you your whole life. And so am I going off track? Are we good? Okay. Yeah, this is just a big thing for me, because when Gigi's mentioned that too, that was part of my story, is I just continued to seek the Lord. I was serving, because that's what I knew to do. That was how I was built. But the missing part was learning how to see God as a father and not so much as a commander in chief. Because he does ask things of you, but it's not from a place of to see how high you'll go or yes, sir. It's from a place of, because he knows that you can, and he wants to do this with you. He's gonna ask you to do things sometimes that you feel like you would never be able to do. Like, it's impossible. Like, what do you want me to do? What? I don't like. I'm not a. This up here is very uncomfortable for me. But with God, I'm able to get up here and do it anyway, because he has something in me to give out, and I want to be able to pour those things out. But it takes seeking him and pursuing him, right? That's all I've got to do. That's all he asks, is to love him above all else. And then to love, give the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and being. And then to love others as you would love yourself. But those two things go hand in hand, right? Everything else is just rules. And those things come easy as you learn to love him first and foremost. Everything else falls into place. The sin begins to fall off. The desire to do those things that you once did before that feels so foreign to be without begins to be so easy. But it is a journey, and it doesn't mean that there won't be days that you wake up still wanting to do those things or whatever. But the difference is that your perspective has changed, because you're in his perspective and not your own.
That's really good. Let's read a couple verses in regards to seeking. This is Proverbs 8:17 in the Amplified. Says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me early and diligently will find me. Early and diligently. Not just like, God, are you there? Nope, I didn't see you. Okay, moving on. But actually, like, this is the picture I have. This last week I was listening to a podcast, and they brought up the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks. If you haven't seen this movie, great movie. Like 90% of it is just him on a beach. But there was, I was like, oh yeah, I haven't seen that movie in a while. And I just went on YouTube and was like looking up, you know, Castaway clips. And there's this clip that it came across. And it's if you don't know what the movie premise is that he's on a plane, it crashes, and now he's on an island by himself. And so he's looking for water, right? And he's hanging out on the beach, and he starts to hear these thumps, and he realizes there's coconuts. So he grabs a coconut, and it's not like the coconuts we see in the store. It's like there's like a softer protecting shell covering the hard shell. So he's trying to figure out, how do I open this thing, right? And so he's like chucking it against this big boulder, this wall of just boulder, and he's chucking it, and can't figure it out. And then he finally rips that outer layer off, but then he has the hard part. And so then he's like trying to break it with a rock. And then, you know, and I mean, he's exhausting so much energy. And then even at the point when he finally breaks through the coconut, like he breaks it so bad that all of the water, the coconut water, is gone. And so then he has to figure out, how do I do this strategically, right? And knowing that we were going to be speaking somewhere along the lines of seeking, I was like, wow, what a perfect picture of what it should look like for us to seek the Lord, right? Where it's like, it's not, no matter what barrier is in front of me, I'm going to find him. Mm-hmm. Like, well, no matter what barrier or what life throws at me, no matter what is going on in society, I'm going to pursue the living water, right? Like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to exhaust all my resources. I'm going to exhaust all my energy, and I'm going to diligently seek him, right? For those of us that are married, I mean, that's why we're married, because we diligently sought out this person, regardless of, you know, whatever barriers were in our way, regardless of the fact that, you know, her dad is in the military, could rip me in half. He never would, though. But, you know, regardless of any of that, like, it was like, no, I was going to seek this woman. And because there was this deep desire. And so diligently seek him. Don't just let it be a passive thing where it's like, yeah, you know, and this is the difference between serving and seeking. It's not just, yes, read your Bible, do the things that are the practicals of faith, but realize that as you're in your word and as you're praying, like, actually seek his face in that. Mm-hmm. Like, not just like, okay, I did it. And don't get me wrong, I've had plenty of mornings or plenty of devotion times where that's what it is. I need to get this done. I have more stuff. I have other things I have to do today. I got to get to work going. I got, you know, babies crying. I got to, you know, and so I just need to take this 5 minutes and read my word, and so I can move on. Okay. So yes, I've done that before plenty of times. What are you going to tell me about?
Not telling on you. I'm just saying, it's okay if that's kind of like part of it, but I would challenge you to just not read and be in the state of finding another way to seek the Lord, because there's nothing worse than when you're on a coffee date or sitting with your spouse and you're like trying to talk with them, but it's like Jesus, you know, you're reading and he's there, he's available, but we're kind of like, okay, I got to do this, but I have like 2 minutes before I got to do something else. That feels awful. Like when, you know, when we were first dating, I would be sitting and talking with him and he'd constantly be looking at his watch like he had something else to do. And I was like, now knowing him, he just is, he's meticulous. He has these like routine things, and it wasn't that he had anywhere else to go. He just is used to, because that's what he does. And it drove me nuts. He's been very good at practicing not to do that because he knows how I feel about it. So I appreciated that about him, like bringing it up, like, hey, like, do you have to, am I boring you? And he's like, what are you talking about? But I was like, you keep looking at your watch like you have something else to do, and I don't want to keep you. I'd much rather I have other things I could be doing too. Like, not really, but I felt that way. I would have found something. So in that, just challenging you, like, the word is a great place to be, absolutely. But if you're in a state where you really can't get it in, now there's discipline. And also, right? Discipline is looking like, yeah, try at least one verse. But if it's really not working for you, put on a worship song instead and do the thing like the dishes that you need to get done or something else and just be in the presence of the Lord. Change your mindset, you know, and allow him to be in what it is that you're doing. I think he'd rather run those errands with you than for them to be the reason that you're not actually focusing in or seeking him, is how I feel. So that's the seeking versus serving. It's a beautiful thing to serve, but learning how to be aware of him being with you while you're doing those things. I think Bill Johnson wrote a book called Hosting the Presence, and he talks about like being aware of the Holy Spirit like he's a dove on your shoulder. How would you walk if you had a dove on your shoulder all the time? Now it gets easier as you do it, right? As you get to know your pet and you get to know this thing that's with you, it becomes easier to go and do these things aware of this, and it's not so hard. You don't have to walk so, but you know, in the first of it feels a little bit challenging, right? So yeah, I leave it at that. If this is really you're begrudged to read the word, then I would maybe either listen to it while you're, you know, in your car, put it to an audible or put on some music and try something different until you get past that barrier or whatever, you get those things, and then come back and try the word again and see what pokes out at you or what, you know, lights up. Hi, baby.
Yeah, I think the challenge is when it comes to doing the disciplines of Christianity, reading the word, praying, going to church, etc., is that it can become so routine. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that's okay if that happens sometimes, but don't stay there, right? The fact is that you're not going to remember everything you read, right? I don't remember what I read last Wednesday. Like, but in the same way, I don't remember what I ate last Wednesday, but it was still sustenance for me, right? There are meals I remember in my life, right? Like, I remember that time we went to ABV, one of our favorite restaurants in Portland, and I had an elk burger for the first time. Glory to God. I remember that burger, and I, like, it's so good, okay? But I don't remember what Nancy made last Wednesday, right? Like, but it's still sustenance to me. No, yeah, it was still sustenance to me, okay? So the same way, yeah, we have these moments with God where we remember him, and we remember those moments at the altar where we were crying that ugly cry, right? Or at encounter, or during service, or, you know, that quiet time you had, and it was so deep and tender and like to you, the Lord. But regardless, it's always going to be good for you, okay? So let's read another verse about seeking. This is Psalm 91:10 or 9:10 in the NIV. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Have never forsaken. This is what I love about the Lord, is that he is constant, mm-hmm, and consistent.
Yeah.
And he says what he's going to do, right? He does what he said he's going to do,
mm-hmm,
right? So another verse, Matthew 6:33 in the New King James, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God. So real practical. When you think, it's amazing to me when I sit down with somebody and they're talking about life and they're talking about struggles and they're talking about, you know, they don't know what to do. And these are Christians. They don't know what to do. And they, you know. And I ask them, like, what does the Lord say about that? And they say, oh, I hadn't thought about doing that yet. And I'm like, wait, like, I don't understand, because I thought our whole point of saying yes to God is that we come into this relationship with him where we have access to everything that he has, and we're able to actually seek him. And when we seek him, we find him, right? And so, so seek first, you know, anytime, like, it's not a perfect equation, because sometimes the Lord is not speaking our language, if you will. But again, seek first. And sometimes it's about asking or thinking, what's the last thing the Lord told me? I just met with a guy the other day, and he's in a huge transition moment, doesn't exactly know what he should be doing, and possibly leaving his job and all this stuff, right? And I just asked him, I was like, well, if you're not hearing the Lord, like, what's the last thing he told you to do? And he was like, oh, well, I guess the last thing he told me to do is be here at this job. And I was like, all right, well, until he tells you something different, that's what you should be doing, Right? Seek first. If you seek him, you'll find him. He's faithful in that. Right?
Absolutely.
So this is the Mary and Martha story. Some of you are maybe familiar with this. And this is brought up plenty of times because we kind of put ourselves in two different pools of people. Either we're Mary or Martha. But I think as we read this, we'll find that both are important, right? And so I'm going to read it. This is Luke 10:38 in the NIV. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So, we have Mary, who is seeking the Lord, who is at his feet, listening to his word. And you have Martha, who's like, hey, Jesus is in the house, right? We need to make sure everything, he has everything he needs. We need to make sure that the house is clean. We need to make sure that all the stuff, right? And I'm Martha for sure, right? I want to make sure that the things that need to be done for the Lord are getting done. Let's make sure that everything's in place, and let's make sure that all the slides are in, and let's make sure that, you know, the sign is looks different. And I'm constantly pestering Pastor Mike about, like, hey, can we change this? The website, can you move this? Can you, right? And all the things, right? And when it comes down to it, Jesus is like, hey, whether or not you had a projector or slides or the board had letters falling off of it and whatever, like, I'm still here, right? I'm still there. And that is a struggle for me. It's a struggle for me to step into, yes, I can seek the Lord and I can maybe settle down and get quiet before him. But it takes a lot of work to step into that Mary role.
But I think it's good to know that both are important, like you said. Like, but where it gets a little hairy is when Martha can get frustrated that Mary is in Mary's season, which is, I just need to be in his presence washing his feet right now. Like, I know that people need to eat, but her spirit needed to be fed. There was something else going on deeper. And when we as Marthas are sitting here, we feel like maybe things aren't happening in the spirit and we become critical of ourselves, of the production, of the la da da da, then that's when it becomes a fault, right? Because then it's like, oh, we're so worried about what we didn't see that we're not aware of what really was happening. You know, there was a big deal going on between Mary and Jesus at that moment. He was ministering to her spirit and she was ministering to him. There was a flux of things happening, and I just find that so beautiful. And yes, Martha was very important because people did need to eat, you know, and build up their temples, of course. But when we get frustrated that maybe it doesn't look like something, that's where we need to check ourselves. And what is our why on why we're doing the service that we're doing? Because if it's, you know, from a place of we're just being nitpicky and la-da-da, that could be a little bit dangerous. But if it, you know, but there's something to be said about wanting the best for the Lord as well. Yeah?
Yeah, and on the other side of that, there is plenty of Marys in the body of Christ that all they're doing is is seeking it, what it looks like. Okay, I want to be careful how I say this. Mm-hmm. I know that to this to be true, that the Lord calls us to absolutely do works as well. So we can get so caught up in the You know, the spiritual side of, oh, yeah, well, I, you know, I seek the Lord on my own, and I don't need to, like, you know, be doing stuff, and ignoring that God's actually saying, yeah, but I called you to go minister to that person. Mm-hmm. Or I called you to go do that thing. Right. And so there is an and also in that, on both sides of them being a Mary and being a Martha, is that, yes, as Martha could, hey, Martha, relax. It's going to be OK. Don't get so lost in doing all the things that you forget that Jesus is right in front of you. Don't forget that, because that's why we're here. Mary, don't forget that, yes, Jesus is here, but there's still a whole world to be saved. Right. And so this is why I get frustrated at Mary's, because I'm like, let's go. There's souls to be found. Do you have something to read from there?
Yeah. So to have found God and still to pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. I love that. That, again, is A.W. Tozer, which is this, like, when we find him and we're doing these things, but yet we still continue to pursue even further, the more of him. What a beautiful gift that we have, and the ability to do that. He hides things for us so that we can seek them out, right? And so I just want to encourage you guys, even Martha's as well, that yes, in your works, in our works, because I can be Martha too. I totally am in home, like in home life. If I know somebody's coming over, I become a Martha like nobody's business. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta get all this done. But I've been really working hard at stripping myself of that performance and realizing, like, actually my season looks like I can't tend to all the things that I want to. I actually had this morning. If I'm honest, I'll be real. We have some friends that we love very much coming over, and I got scared for a minute because my house is a little bit lived in right now. I haven't had, you know, the time to attend to things as I would normally appreciate doing, for one reason or another. And so I woke up, and the first thing I started doing, instead of actually getting into my worship or taking time and spending the morning intimately with my husband over a cup of coffee, I chose to start doing dishes and wiping down counters and moving things, you know, and I'm dealing with a headache. And Eric was like, babe, like, why are you doing all this? And I was like, well, because, like, so-and-so's coming over. And it just hit me. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm doing the very thing. Here I am seeking approval and doing these works, but really, in all honesty, if I'm going to have friends coming over, they're going to have understanding and grace for my season, and I have to have that same kind of grace for myself. And if I really want to be honest, then I need to let them see. And that's one thing that I've been working on in my life, is vulnerability, because it's one thing to be transparent. I can let them know where I'm at, but, you know, everything looks all tidy around me, but I, you know, I'm telling them I'm struggling, but my house looks beautiful and my kids are behaving and la-da-da, which they're always behaving. I don't think that's ever really an issue for me. When I go through these hoops and barrels and I'm saying I want to be vulnerable, but yet I'm still trying to put things in place, then that to me is hypocrisy to myself, right? And so right now my season looks like I'm seeking just to be the best mom I can to my little toddler and my little baby infant, and working with him, and, you know, my little girl, we're baking cookies together and we're doing things. And so things get messy, and that's okay. I don't want to stay there, but right now that's all I have. That's the only bandwidth I have. And so if I'm going to have people in my life, I want to be honest about where I'm at, and hopefully there's grace for that, right? And if not, then maybe it's not the season to have that as a friend. So I'm just giving that to you guys from an honest place, because yeah, even I struggle as a Mary. I can move into those modes, and it leaks into more than just my relationship with the Lord, but with my relationship with people around me. The way that I'm pursuing him, I want to pursue those around me, which means honestly and in a raw state where it's like, yeah, I might not be the prettiest thing at the moment and I might look a little messy, but I promise there's good stuff to be had with me. And what I give you is going to be really well. It's going to be the best of the best, because it's what I focused in on, the important things, and everything else will find its place soon, you know.
So we have to remember this, that the Lord knows your mess. He knows your mess. He knows you're a messy person. And in seeking the Lord, let's keep that in mind, that I'm not going to wash my car at home before I go to the car wash and wash my car, right? Like, that's not smart. You do wash the dishes before you put them in the dishwasher. Whole nother story. Okay. But in the same way, we can sometimes even just like subconsciously do it where we're like, no, before I pursue the Lord, before I seek the Lord, let me make sure I look a certain way and I have the right words to say. And as I pray, it's so eloquent and I'm making sure that I'm quoting scripture in my prayer and I'm making sure that I'm, you know, I'm hitting all the marks in my prayer. And God's like, no, how about you just seek me? Because I know what you're struggling with. I know your mess. I know that, you know, not only is your house a mess, but your life's a mess. And maybe your marriage is a mess and your parenting's a mess and your work life's a mess. I know that. How about you just seek me and we go through this together, right? But we treat it instead like, oh no, he's coming. Let's make sure I can, and this is maybe, we clean in two different ways, okay? So I'm on the side of I'm cleaning for the appearance of clean. Nancy's cleaning for the sake of cleanliness. So that means lifting things up and all the things, right? I'm like, no, just as long as it's awesome. That may be dirty on the inside, but nobody knows that because it looks clean, right? So That just lets you in on my brain a little bit, okay? And that, but that's how, you know, in times of shame or in times of struggle, that's how I can approach the Lord. Is like, hey, let me just give you the appearance of what it looks like that I'm doing great, I'm doing fine, right? Like I lead a youth ministry and I preach on Sundays and I lead worship, right? Like I have together Jesus, right? And Jesus is like, oh, okay, yeah, but you're also kind of a jerk to your kids the other day. How about that? Let's talk about that. I was like, oh, well, I didn't know we were going to talk about that. Anyways, and so the Lord knows. That's my whole point is that he's, you know, you may think you're fooling him, but he's very aware of your mess.
And when we say seek, there's also the portion of learning to ask for things. Like right now we live in a microwave world. Where we want a burger, we go down the street, we get it within 2 minutes. And if not, we get a little frustrated that it's taking them that much longer to get our burger, right? We can be that way. So with the Lord though, there's, you know, the story of the widow who continued to ask the judge and continued. And then finally he gave in to her. And the Lord also in Luke, a little bit further after the story in 9:11-9, it talks about, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open for you. But there's more to that. It's like sometimes you're going to ask and you're like, God, I feel like I've asked you this for like three times. Like what's going on? Like, why is it not happening yet? And his timing is not our timing. His timing is perfect. And it doesn't make sense to me because there's been lots of times that I'm like, Lord, I thought you said to honor the da 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 of man, but yet you're not honoring my time. And so it's like I challenge in that, but just letting you know that sometimes just because you don't get what you want right away doesn't necessarily mean that it's a no. It's that there, how bad do you want that thing? How, like, are you willing to seek after and be undignified to get those things? Because sometimes I think we've gotten really comfortable in the idea that, you know, God is super graceful, absolutely. But there's a part of him that, like, he wants to know, how bad do you want this? Like, when we're asking for healings and I've been praying for healing for my daughter's lungs for a long time now, as long as she's been alive. And it doesn't mean that it's not happening or that it's not going to, but that how bad am I willing to go after this? Am I just going to be like, well, no, I guess it's just not for you, which I don't believe. We all know that she has golden lungs already and they're activated. And I think as we go, I'm seeing more and more progress in that, but I could either, you know, get frustrated and give up on it and just, you know, start medicating her and doing all these things. Or I could continue to press in and get even more undignified and continue to go after those things. And that doesn't mean just praying for her healing in her lungs, but also others. Because I haven't seen it there doesn't mean that I don't have the authority to go and pray it over others, right? And sometimes I actually see more success when I pray for other people's lungs than I do my own daughter's. And that does not make sense to me. It actually angers me. But I have to let go of that idea and continue to pursue those things and ask for those things even still. So when we do these altar calls and we're asking for, you know, you guys to respond, sometimes it does. It looks like getting a little undignified and a little bit uncomfortable in order to receive the outcome that we're looking for. It doesn't mean that it won't happen if we just stay in our seats and we just continue to pursue Him that way, but it might look a little different or come a little faster or... But the Lord isn't a formula either. Does that make sense? Like, it's not A plus B is going to equal C every single time. Sometimes it looks like different. You might have done this, and then that's what you got the first time. So we keep pursuing Him in that way, expecting the same thing, but forgetting that He's multifaceted. And He speaks differently all the time. And He wants to get you out of your comfort zone so that you don't become complacent. So...
a good word.
I'm speaking to me too. I keep saying you, but it's me too. I'm in that you. It's plural.
So we're going to wrap up, and I just want to end with this, that seeking the Lord for me, for Nancy, for any of us is going to look different. And yeah, I wish I can, and plenty of people have tried, but I wish I can give you a book and say, here you go. Here's the 1, 2, 3 step of how you seek the Lord, and you're going to hear His voice, and it's all going to be okay. But the only book I have is the Bible, and the only strategy I have is to continuing to pursue Him, and that might look different from day to day. When we see Jesus encountering people and healing people and ministering people, there's not a whole lot of duplicates in what we read. One, we see Him speak it. One, we see Him lay hands. One, we see Him make mud and rub it on eyes. One, we see Him do nothing and the woman touches the hem of His garment and she's healed. So if you ever hear anybody to say, here's the strategy, here's the formula, they're more lost than anybody, because it's not. The only for sure thing I can say is seek Him and you'll find Him. Mm-hmm. Seek Him. Seek after His face, seek after His presence, and you're going to find Him.
It really is. It is about relationship. Actually, with Abraham, he got Isaac, and that took a long time. The Lord continued to tell him, I'm going to give this to you, but it took him a very long time. Abraham was a very old man when he got him, and then when he got him, the Lord asked to take him away again, right? And Abraham probably was outside himself. I would love to see the part that we don't get, which is the conversation that Abraham had with the father on his way to go to this place of sacrifice of Isaac, right? He told him, he's like, I need you to, and it wasn't that God was trying to be mean, but he was willing to do what it took in order to remove that idol, because Isaac had become an idol in Abraham's heart. He loved him so much that I think he kind of put him before the Lord because he just cherished him so deeply, which is not a bad thing. Us as parents, we cherish our children so deeply, but sometimes we forget to lay them down at the Father's feet and allow Him first to seek Him first and to trust Him with them. And so Jesus, our God, you know, had a conversation with Abraham and said, I need this from you. And Abraham, I think, always knew in his heart that he was going to do what he needed to do. But I imagine he probably went through agony, just like Jesus probably sweat blood a little bit, knowing that he was going to have to do this. It was probably one of the most painful things in the world. But that he still did it, and when he got to that point of he knew he was going to do it and there was no turning back, the Lord brought grace, right? So sometimes He might ask something of us that's really uncomfortable and it hurts really deeply. It doesn't mean that He hates you. It's actually because He loves you so much. He's such a good dad that He's willing to break us of ourselves and these things that we put in place, not even knowing, unbeknownst to us sometimes. And He's done that on multiple levels with me, where He's, you know, and it comes to that point, and sometimes I still get to keep the thing, sometimes I don't, but the point is He knows what's best for me, and he's going to bring the grace where it's needed. But He will ask for hard things, and are we willing to continue to seek Him and pursue Him in that, or are we going to shut up the doors and be like, nope, sorry, I can't be a Lord, I don't love you anymore, I'm sorry, it's too hard, nope, you've gone too far, you're getting too deep, I can't have that. So... yeah.
I'm going to pray.
Yes. Jesus, I love you, Papa. And actually, do we have a track we could play? Do you guys have a track we could play up there? Can you play like some music? I just feel it on my heart right now that this isn't Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I thank you, Father, for being with us today. I just feel right now that if you guys have something that you've been toiling with or troubled or burdened with that maybe you haven't wanted to let go or that you know needs to be let go but hasn't, you haven't quite had the know-how, I just encourage you to come up to here to the front and just begin to release that thing and give it to the Lord right now. I just feel like he really wants to do something great today. But I just want you to begin those first couple steps of just that pursuing, that willingness to seek. And I know sometimes we might feel like we've been doing this and we've done it 100 times and still there's no result. But he says, keep asking, keep knocking, and I will give it to you. So if that's you, I'm just going to encourage you to come up as I'm praying and we'll pray for you. But Jesus, I just love you. And I'm so thankful, God, that you are as persistent and as consistent as you are, Lord, that you're faithful. And Jesus, I just pray over our congregation today, Lord, that as they go about their day, Father, that you would be with them in such a in a tangible way, Lord, that they would feel you differently than they felt you before, Jesus, that they would encounter you in new ways throughout the week, Lord, that you would come and begin to speak to them, you know, more loudly or more in a more creative way, Lord. They'd know that they know that they know that that was you, Jesus, that you begin to bless them in financial ways, that you would bless them through divine interventions and encounters, Lord. And Jesus, that as things come up that might feel a little chaotic or anxious, Jesus, that they would begin to seek you and that you would come and be on them, that your presence, your peace would just fall on them so heavily. Yeah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. For Tanya's family, Jesus, I just want to touch that again, Lord, that you would be with them in this time, that they would feel you more than ever before, that Tanya's heart would be just mended, Father, that she'd have the ability to mourn, but that she wouldn't stay there, Lord, but that you would be there in that with her, Lord, until the joy comes, that she would know that her parents are in a good place. Too. So Jesus, I just thank you for giving yourself so that we could have relationship with Father. Lord, I'm so thankful that you gave your son so that I could have relationship with you without interpreters, God, without having to go through all these leaps and bounds and different things, Father, things that I don't want to do. But Jesus, that I get to just talk to you. I just thank you, Father, for the ability to be able to read our word freely. Jesus, I pray that you would continue just to meet us in that, Lord. And that as we leave today, that we go on about our business, Jesus, that we would just be little lights for you. God, that as people begin to encounter us, that they would feel different. That you would be able to, that you would be exuded from the depths of who we are, Jesus. And that as we meet people, that they would begin to feel the peace and the joy that is in us because of you. And that they would become hungry, Jesus. That we would be the little fires that light other people's fires in this time. I just thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Go eat some grub.